6 and verse number 16, and I hope that you find your places there in Daniel chapter number 6. Well, I was just thinking today, this is our 6th week on Facebook Live. It's hard to believe it's been that long. We've already been going through this. It's all started right around the anniversary Sunday, and we had a great day that day. We had a great number of people in church that morning, and then the numbers just fell right off as we were concerned about the coronavirus, all the effects of it, and so we just need to be in prayer. The Lord will get us back together soon. Luke, could you just turn that down just a hair for me tonight? And we're just going to keep praying, keep having patience and wisdom in this time of uncertainties. But I'm glad to know, you know what, there's nothing uncertain with God. He's all-powerful, He's sovereign, He's in complete and total control. And I'm not uncertain because I trust in the God that is very certain. Well, you have your Bibles in Daniel chapter number 6 tonight, and we're going to be talking about a bad day. A bad day. I tell you, how many of you have ever had a bad day? You might want to go ahead and put a, I don't know if a thumbs up, thumbs down. I don't know what works for that right there in the comments section. For the couple that are in here, how many of you ever had a bad day? All right, I see a couple of hands in here because that's all there's in here right now. So, we've all had bad days. We have days when we wake up and we just the other day, we were out doing something, and I made a big mistake on something, and then right after that, I shoved my finger up underneath a board, and a splinter went up underneath my fingernail, and then another thing, that it just seemed like it was a bad day. A bad day. I don't know if you got a chance to listen to Brother Eric Getch preach his revival services, but he preached a sermon that I believe he might have preached here about a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. And it was a great sermon. He preached it again in a little bit different context, but maybe you go back and look on his ministries, Onward Ministries, and find that out and see that message. It was a good message. But I was reading a book, and it got to make me. I was reading this little book to Melody, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to share this little book with you here tonight. And my wife, I don't know if you know this, but Karis runs the camera when I preach and everything. So she's already smiling at me. She's saying, "Oh no, what's this book going to be all about?" and everything. But it's going to come back to a big roundabout way here this evening. This is an illustration. It's a little book that Chick-fil-A put out. And Chick-fil-A, you're doing an awesome job right now. I tell you right now, Chick-fil-A is doing a good job in their drive-thrus. But it's about a little bird and a tale of joy with the blue bird. And he says, I'm going to read this with a little bit of emphasis, emphatic here, all right? He says, "I'm blue," said the bird, "and it's time you all heard what a terrible day I've had. My nest is all crumpled, my feathers are all rumpled, and my mood is decidedly bad." "Hold on there," said the bear. "We all have offered to share our laughter and friendship with you. We've all had a bad day when things don't go our way, and everyone knows this is true." Big old honeypot falls on his head. "You must think of good things and spread your proud wings and soar to the sky, clouds in the sky, and you'll soon find your stride as you swoop and you glide. There's a glow in your heart when you fly." "It's so simple," said the bird, "and to think that I've stirred up such trouble when now that I see there's joy, much joy to be found in all the world around, and it's really just all up to me. It's really all up to me." There's two little lines in that little book right there that are very, very true. The bird at the beginning of the book says that his nest is all crumpled and his feathers are all rumpled and he's in a mood that's decidedly bad. Have you ever thought about that? Hey, you might not be able to control your day. You might not be able to control what happens to you tomorrow or the next day or the next day after that. But there's one thing that is in your control, and that's how you respond. That's your mood. It's like he says at the end of the book, it's really just all up to me. How I respond in a situation, how I go through my day, is really going to be dependent on my outlook. How I do things, what am I going to do about this? The Bible says in Proverbs 18:10 that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. If you'll read your Bible, you'll find many people that have had really horrible, very bad days. From the very first chapters of Genesis, you find Adam and Eve eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was a bad day. Not just for them, but for the rest of humanity. Cain killed his brother. Adam and Eve lost a son in that. Then you've got the flood. You have Abraham with his issues with Hagar. Then you look at Joseph and all his problems, being sold into slavery. See Joshua and the children of Israel as they deal with Achan and his sin. What about the book of Judges and all their problems? And how about Ruth losing her husband and Naomi losing her husband and two sons? Hannah was childless. Saul lost his kingdom. David had to run and hide from Saul on many occasions. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel had to preach and deal with rebellious people on a daily basis. Then you've got Jesus and all his dealings with the Pharisees, his ignorant disciples, his traitors, his lepers, and his crowds. You ever thought about Jesus dealing with the crowds? I was just talking to somebody the other day. Some of you might know who it is, but I won't mention any names. He said, you know what? This whole thing isn't really a bad thing to me. I'm kind of used to not hanging around people too much. Crowds don't bother. I'm glad I don't have to be around too many people. Sometimes, have you ever been around a large crowd? Can you imagine being thronged? We don't use that word much, but it just means to be completely engulfed by people touching you, wanting something from you every single day. Talk about no social distancing. There was no social distancing when Jesus was around healing people. Then you've got the disciples. They were in storms in the boat. What about the night that Jesus died? That was a bad day for them. At least they thought it was. Then you've got Paul. He has his beatings, he's shipwrecked, he's robbed, he's accused, and he's in prison. I'll tell you, bad days are common in the Bible. They're all over the place, and I didn't even mention Job. Probably one of the persons that had one of the worst days in all of human history. But whether you've had a bad day just because you are frustrated, irritated, and annoyed, or because you had a really bad day because you lost your entire livelihood, the choice that you do with that day, what you choose, I should say, what you choose to do with that day is all up to you. You may lose your children, but you don't have to lose your character. You may lose your job, but you don't have to lose your joy. You may be insulted, but you don't have to act like an idiot afterwards. You see, Job was betted against by Satan. His friends berated him and tried to convince him that he had sinned. And his wife belittled him and told him to go ahead and curse God and die. But in all of this, listen to what it says about Job. It says, in all of this, Job sinned not with his lips, neither did he charge God foolishly. Oh, God definitely had to deal with a little bit of pride and stubbornness, and I even think a little bit of arrogancy that Job had. But here's the thing, is that Job, not one time did he sin with his lips. Not one time did he look up at God and shake his fist or question him and basically say that it was all God's fault. It proves to us that Job had a choice in how he would handle that day. And that brings us to our story tonight. It's in Daniel chapter number 6, and it's found in verse number 16. What we find right here, he says, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Let's pray. Father, help us as we look at this wonderful story we've heard many times. But tonight, let us see it from a little bit different point of view. The view in which Daniel had. The view in which he took a hold of this day by faith. And by faith, Lord, was delivered from the mouth of the lions. May God, you help us to be delivered in our bad days. Well, delivered from an enemy, delivered from bad things that happen to us. And Lord, I would pray that, Lord, you would deliver me from myself. And that, Lord, we would be people that are righteous, godly, and faithful, even in bad days. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, Daniel had an issue. And his issue that you find in our story here this evening is very simple. It's back in a little ways in the story that David was a godly man. He wasn't just godly, but he was very responsible. So responsible that the king had, Darius, had decided to make him the number one president of all the presidents of the land. Daniel was perhaps at this particular stage in life an older man, at least an older man. He had gone through several kings and two different empires. Not many people get to do that. He lived through both of those, and in doing so, he was able to advise kings and be able to help people in their struggles and through their problems and difficulties on several different occasions. So what I'm saying here tonight is that as Daniel is struggling with all of these things that are about to happen to him, is that Daniel was a man that lived as a godly man. A godly man long before he was ever thrown into a lion's den. Long before he ever had a chance to display his faith and perhaps give us one of the greatest Bible stories of all time, that we have a man that was living by faith following God. There are other stories in the Bible. I mentioned Job. There's an interesting story of David. Realize that David at one point in his life was going to kill a man and his whole entire family and all his servants just because he got insulted. Just because somebody insulted him, he was going to take all 600 men with him and go kill all of Nabal's family. It's amazing. You ever heard about John the Apostle? He's sometimes known as John the Beloved. But he wasn't too beloved of an apostle in the Gospels, because on one occasion, whenever the Samaritans rejected him and Jesus Christ, he said, "Jesus, rain down fire upon this city." And Jesus looked at him and said, "You know not what manner of spirit you are of." What does that mean? Boy, you don't know what you're thinking. You don't know what you're saying. Your reactions on your bad days is who we really are. And that's really important and sobering when you think about it tonight. You must start to decide now how you're going to act if something terrible is going to happen. Now is the time to start thinking, well, what if this happened or what if that happened? Start thinking about those things right now. You say, that sounds kind of morbid, Pastor. Well, it's not very morbid according to the story we're going to find here in just a moment. Think through those things. If these things, what would I do? How would I handle it? How would I do this? But in our story today, Daniel is faced with a horrible, very bad day. And you know what he does? He goes ahead and lives in accordance to the way that he has been living. You see, the Bible teaches us that these governors and these presidents who did not like Daniel got together in verse number 6, and they assembled together and they decided to come up with a royal statute. And the statute was a firm decree, it says in verse number 7, that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save O thee the king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. And Darius signed the writing and the decree. In verse number 10, look what it says. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, what did he do? Did he panic? Did he get upset? Did he frantic? Did he get frustrated and irritated? Did he go to the king and run to him and say, "Hey, you don't understand. These guys were against me. I can't pray for..." No, what does the Bible tell us he does? The Bible says that when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, his windows being open in his chamber, and he toward Jerusalem, and he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks. And here is the key part: thanks before his God as he did aforetime. I want us tonight to see a very simple message that may God help us to respond in faith, believing that God has an ultimate purpose and that we can have great confidence in His perfect will. The righteous, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. How did Daniel develop a life, a pattern? How did he develop this? Well, how is he able to handle this very bad day with such repose, such relaxation, it almost seems like? How is he able to do that? Well, first of all, number one, he has established a pattern of good works. He has a daily routine. Let me put it like this. The time to get spiritual is not in the foxhole. The time to get spiritual is not in the storm. Because most of the time when we're in the storm, we're going to be panicked. We're going to be upset. We're not going to necessarily run to God right away. We might say, well, I know I should, but I've got to do this and I've got to do that and I've got to do this. Daniel didn't put a checklist out there and say, you know what? Well, I should probably do this and this, and I've got to do this over here. And man, if I said it this way and we change this decree to this, and maybe we could get things worked out. No, he just did like he always did. Three times every single day he prayed. They said, that's wrong. You can't do that. Daniel said, it doesn't matter. I've got to do what God has told me to do. In fact, I'm not going to pray to man. I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to go to man as a God, because I only serve one God, one King. Let me ask you this. Do you have a pattern of prayer in your life right now? Do you have a pattern in your life right now that you've established that you have a dependence upon God? That in your life, you can look back over the last week, month, or maybe the last 2 or 3 months, and you can say, you know what? Over these last couple of months, I have definitely established a pattern of dependence on the Lord. Like I said, it's better to prepare earlier for a bad day than in the bad day. Of course, there is no idea when a bad day may bring. We don't know when it will come. But we can choose how we will respond. Here's a question for all of us. When a bad day comes, or I should say the question is this, when a good day happens, how do you react? On a good day, how do you respond? Are you critical? Are you upset? Are you on edge at this very moment? Are you on edge right now? When things are very reasonably well? In doing this study, it occurred to me as I was going through the different bad days of people that I don't find anybody in the Bible having a bad day because they stubbed their toe. Or they hit their hand with a hammer. Or they got a splinter shoved up underneath their fingernail. Or they were stuck in bad traffic or anything like that. What I'm saying is this, is that the bad days that you find in the Scriptures are usually really bad days. They're not the normal irritations that we have to put up with on a daily basis. Everybody has everyday cares. There's a general rule to follow in this. It says in Matthew 6:34, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." You have enough to think about and to worry about today to be too concerned about tomorrow and all its worries. So the focus calls us to right now in the here and now. The best way for a town on the coast of Texas to prepare for a hurricane is to not prepare for a hurricane the day the hurricane is showing up. The best way to start preparing for hurricane season is now. Getting ready now. Start making preparation now. The best way to prepare for a war or a storm or a pandemic is not to start preparing now for it. The best way to prepare for it is in the past, getting ready before it happens. Why is it we can understand it when it comes to those things in the physical life, but when it comes to the spiritual realm, we miss out on it? We're prone to think, well, I'll get right with God, or I'll be dependent upon Him, and when that day comes, when I really need Him, I'll call out to Him. But you see, Daniel was ready for the great trial that was in his life because he was doing right at that very moment. He was already living right. He was praying. He was doing as he did aforetime. Secondly, how is it that we'll be prepared and ready to have a good day? What will motivate us for that? Well, number one, make sure you're prepared and ready. Secondly, understand this. People are watching. People are watching. If anything might motivate us is this, is that your little children are watching you when a bad day comes. That guess what? That guy in the office who knows you're a Christian, guess what? They're watching you. That lady down the street that you know, that you've talked to a few times, guess what? She's watching. Hey, your mom and dad that are not saved, they're watching. People are watching to see what you're going to do when a bad day comes. They'll take note of it. They'll see it. People are watching. Your enemies are watching, because look what it says in our text, is that Daniel was prepared. He was ready. He was already preparing for this bad day because he was already prayed up. He was serving the Lord. But when the time came for these men to find out what Daniel was doing, look what it says in verse number 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And then they go to the king and they kind of put it out there before him in such a way that it makes it sound like they're just recalling to mind this law that they had put into place. And then they say in verse number 13, then answered they said unto before the king that Daniel, what they're saying is that Daniel that you put in charge, that Daniel that you put over us, that Daniel, and they kind of slander him by saying that Jew that you set up. That's kind of how they're putting it. That's of the children of the captivity of Judah. They're slandering, they're putting him down. He doesn't regard you, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh this day his petition three times a day. Three times a day. You see, your foes are watching you. Your family is watching. Your friends are watching you. Your foes are looking at you. Job 2:9. Sadly, in this case right here, not only did he have some friends that became his foes, but even his own wife in a moment of distress, and I can't imagine what she was going through. Karis and I were just talking about this the other day, and the stress, the anxiety, the depression that she was under. But in this moment, she responded like this: "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." When your foe comes to you and curses you, when your foe comes to you and puts you down, you know, it's like they say, kick them while they're down. That's what the enemy wants to do. When it sees you're having a bad day, you know what the enemy's going to do? The enemy's going to try to make your day worse. He's going to try to make it even worse than it is yesterday. He's going to kick you while you're down. He's going to put you down. But our answer should be as Job would have answered: yes, I will retain my integrity. Listen to what the psalm says. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, according to the integrity of mine heart. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity and settest thy face before thee. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity. The just man walketh in his integrity. See, your foes want to push you down, and they want to destroy your integrity. They want to destroy your character, and they want to poke and prod and make you say something or do something or act in a certain way, so that because you're in a dire strait and it's just the time whenever they can just poke or say the right thing and get you to sin. But Daniel had integrity. Daniel still had that Daniel 1:8 in his heart, that he purposed in his heart to not defile himself with the king's meat. He had a purpose. He was set on course. He was going to live for God. What about your family? Let me just say this real quick. Have you ever noticed that your children act just like you do when something bad happens to them? If you fight and fuss and throw a fit, guess what they're going to do when something bad happens to them? Fight and fuss and throw a fit. If you cuss and scream and get frustrated, guess what? They're going to do the same thing. But if you'll bow your head, close your eyes, maybe pray, maybe respond softly, maybe don't say anything at all, you'll begin to see that rubs off on them. And notice also in the story that your friends are looking at you. The Bible says in verse number 16, and I believe the king was caught in a moment of pride at this point. They presented this law to him. They said, hey, listen, you signed this law. Nobody else can pray to you, to another god, but to pray to you. Man, it kind of fluffed his pride up. But you know what he did? He forgot about his friend. He forgot about his friend Daniel. And sad to say, just for a little quick side note, and I'll kill this rabbit real quick, is that pride often makes us forget other people and gets us focused on one person, me. People are watching you. It says in verse number 16, it says, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. How do you know Daniel was his friend? Because the Bible says that in verse number 14, that the king was sore displeased with himself, and he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. The Bible even tells us in verses number 18 and 19 and 20 that the king was up all night. He wouldn't let the instruments come before him. He fasted and thought of Daniel all night long. And then finally, when the morning broke, he ran to the den and he cried out with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And he spake and he said, Daniel, oh Daniel, servant of the living God. He loved Daniel. He was his friend. And I'll tell you, when you're in a moment of distress, a moment of trouble, a moment of trial, guess who's looking? Your friends, your family, your foes. They're all watching you. People are watching you. People that look up to you, people that look down to you, down on you, they're going to see how you hold up under pressure. They may even offer you encouraging words. He says to him, he says, I know that thy God is able to deliver thee. I've seen this happen on some occasions. It's a very odd thing that happens in our humanity. Is that in our humanity and in our sinful state, is that sometimes you can have a friend that loves you, prays for you, and offers to you some wise advice or good encouragement, but you're so down in the dumps and stuck so much in self-pity that you reject that. Be careful. You've got people that love you. You've got people that care about you. You've got people that are trying to help you. Don't reject that. I think of David. David was a man after God's own heart, but David got his eyes off the wrong things, and he got them on a rebellious son named Absalom. And Absalom was going to kill him and kill everybody else that was associated with David. But Absalom was killed first. And in doing so, when Daniel found out, he cried out, oh Absalom, my son Absalom. He cried, oh, that I would have died for thee. And he sat up in his room and he wept and he cried and he almost lost the entire kingdom. And had it not been for an unusual friend, Joab, running up there and telling him and speaking to him right in the face and telling, hey, listen here, buddy. Not every time, let me say it like this, not every time when we're having a bad day do we need somebody to, let me put it in big quote, big air quotes, pray for us. Every once in a while we need a Joab to come in and kick us in the rear end and say, get up, buddy, it's going to be okay. You're about to lose everything. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? He has this unusual source of wisdom that comes into him and says, I really care about you. I care about what's going on around you. Listen to those friends. Don't reject those friends. Daniel's friends were watching him. Daniel's friends were looking at him. And they said, God that you serve will continually help you. He took notice of Daniel and his service towards the Lord. And his service to the Lord was unfailing no matter how bad the day was. And in the end of the story, we find that King Darius, his friend, ends up worshiping God. He's inspired to worship the Lord because he sees how his friend handles his bad day and how God graciously delivers him. What motivates us, keeps us going? What is it on a bad day? What is it? Well, it's people watching us. It's being prepared for a bad day. But finally, it's having a passionate walk with Jesus Christ. Look at here in the Bible what it tells us here. That whenever King Darius hollers out to him, that Daniel says in verse 21, he says, "Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouths, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the lion den, out of the den. And something struck me right here in this next sentence in verse number 23. Daniel's not talking. Darius is not talking. Nobody's talking in the story except for God. And it says, Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. He believed in his God. One day, one bad day for Daniel wasn't going to kill a lifetime walk with God. He wasn't going to let one bad day destroy him. Understand at this point, Daniel is an older man, as I mentioned at the beginning. He's not the young teenage boy back in Daniel chapter number 1. And he's not about to lose his faith at this point in his life. And what made the difference in him and many others, and the Bible is emphatic about it, is his faith in God, belief. He believed in his God. The end of it all was faith. Faith in God delivered him from one of the worst days of his life. And look through the Bible. Job said, "My Redeemer liveth." Abraham believed God that he would raise up his son Isaac even if he had to kill him. Hannah received a child from the Lord even though she was barren. Faith gave Ruth the ability to go out into a field and reap the harvest and be put into the field of Boaz. Through faith, David was delivered from horrible day after horrible day after horrible day from Saul. And in one occasion, he was delivered by faith whenever his whole family and all his soldiers' families were kidnapped and delivered into the hands of the Amalekites. And you know what David does? He does something right in this occasion. He gets on his knees and he prays to God and he says, "God, what do you want me to do?" He had faith to believe that God had the answers. And I'm not going to lie to you this evening. There are times when you might not get delivered like you think it's going to be. You might go through a divorce, or you might have been through one. You might lose a child. You might lose your job. You might have your family turn on you. But don't ever lose faith in Jesus Christ. Keep trusting in Him. And I think of the first Christian martyr, Stephen. He wasn't delivered from the stoning that took place that day, but whenever he was being stoned, the Bible says that his face shone as an angel, and that when he died, the Bible doesn't say that he died. The Bible says that he fell asleep. God delivered him in a more miraculous way than we can ever imagine. Whenever in the midst of that gruesome death of stoning, what did he do? He just simply fell asleep in the Father's arms. Hebrews 2:18 teaches us that for in that he himself has suffered being tempted. Jesus, he's talking about here. Jesus has suffered and he has been tempted. And listen to what is the follow-up of that. Because of that, he is able to succor them that are tempted. We don't use that word a lot. What does it mean? Well, it's a beautiful word. It means aid. It means help. In fact, it's translated help a few times in the scriptures. There's two different times it's translated help, and it has to do with a parent both times. A Syrophoenician woman and another man. Both were calling out to God, out to Jesus, and they said, help. 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 Imagine if you were, for a moment, a father or a mother in a waiting room. And one of your children have just suffered a terrible accident. The nurses are there, and they're doing the best they can to help your child. The doctor's not there at that moment. And then suddenly, the doctor rushes in. What's the first words that's going to come out of your mouth as a mom or a dad? Doctor, help us. Doctor, help us. Our child is sick. Our child is hurt. Help us. We need help. Please help us. And that's the word succor. It means to draw close up to. It's the idea of aiding, of helping. Have you ever heard of giving relief aid to a national disaster? People that give relief aid, they don't just put it in a box and mail it off. No, they put it in a box, they put it in a container, or they put it in a cargo truck, and they actually deliver the packages. They get out and they actually distribute those packages one hand to hand. And that's what God does with us in our times of temptation, our times of trial, on our bad days. He's there to help, hand to hand, person to person. And you just need to cry out, God, I need help. He's able to provide the life-giving, soul-sustaining, passionate caring, and heart-mending that no other person can provide. I don't know what Daniel did down in the lion's den, but I guarantee he's probably talking to God. I think he's probably talking to the angel that was there. He might have even been talking to a lion or two. I don't know if he petted them or laid on them like some of those other scriptures talked about. That might be tempting the Lord. I wouldn't have done that myself. But no doubt, he was there asking God for help. Hebrews says, and it says again, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith in the Lord is not just in the good times, it's in the bad times, my friend. And today, I want to encourage you to start setting a pattern of good works. Be prepared for a bad day by start living righteously, holy, and godly in this present world now. Start praying tonight. Pray today. Prepare today. May the next time you have a bad day, may you be motivated by the fact that people are watching you and looking at everything that you're responding and reacting to. And may you continue to have a passionate walk with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Friend, bad days are going to come and they're going to go. Some of those days are going to be life-altering bad days. Some of those days are just going to be irritations. But though you may not be able to control what comes your way, I tell you what you can do. You can control how you respond on those days. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The next time you have a bad day, run to God. You'll be safe. Father, thank you for what you do. Thank you for your many blessings. Lord, it's kind of hard for maybe even to say this right this moment, but I believe it to be said. I need to say it, Lord, to you. Thank you for the bad days. Thank you for the bad days. It only makes me realize how utterly dependent I truly am upon you. And may God, you continue to help us all to be prepared and ready to have good, be a good testimonies and examples when those tough days come, and to be like our example Daniel we saw tonight, who was ready to meet the challenge of his bad day. And Father, you delivered him. And Lord, we ask that you would deliver us out of all of our troubles, as even you promised you will do. In Jesus' name.